Thank you, Ricky, to the worship band for leading us. Thank you for those prayers as well. made reference in your prayers to the mental health issues of children and young people. Perhaps not something we think often enough about, and Premier Christian Youth Work this month has taken that issue and is considering it. I commend this to you, a number of copies at the back if you'd find that helpful. You also kindly made reference to the fact that we are interviewing three candidates for ministry this month. Please do pray for us. We've had two of those meetings. They've both been extremely good meetings, helpful meetings, insightful meetings. We've learnt a lot. We think the candidates have learnt a lot. Pray for us as we seek to discern what the Lord is saying to us. Indeed, we met one of those candidates on Thursday evening, and almost continuously since that time, I've been in bed. I'm trying to earn your sympathy. I was totally out of it on Friday, unable to respond in any way at all. And being before you this morning is fine, because I have roused to a degree. But it does remind me of the story. Do you know, I like traditional stories. This is a traditional story. The story of the Member of Parliament who dreamt one night he was making a speech in the House of Commons and woke up to find that he was. I'm working on the assumption this is not a dream, but it's always that possibility. Delighted to be here. Delighted to contribute to this series on What's the Point? I love asking that question of almost anything we do in the life of the church. What's the point? Why do we do it? Especially things we do an awful lot. When I went down to the Southwest 20 years ago, I became a regional minister, and I had the charge of Devon and Cornwall and a bit of Somerset, a little bit of Dorset. And one of my churches had a really interesting time for their morning service. I won't specify it, but it was in Devon. I'm pretty sure the time of their morning service was 10:38. Well, that sort of attracts the eye, doesn't it? Because, you know, 10:30, 10:45, 11 o'clock. But 10:38, what was that about? So I asked the people of the church, you know, very happy to go along with 10:38, but why? What's it? And they said, well, dear, the train gets in, and the train was about, it was only a minute's walk away, not more than a minute's walk. The train gets in at 10:35. So we thought if we made the service 10:38, you know, gave people to walk up and they could just refresh themselves and we could start 10:38. So I said, so that train still gets in at 10:35. It's, oh no, that's many years ago, they said to me. It was a total load of nonsense that they met at 10:38, but they kept doing. It's good to ask the question, what's the point? Why do we do things the way we do? What's the point of knowing our gifts? I'll tell you what the point of knowing our gifts is, because everything in the life of the church turns on the way in which we use the gifts that God has given to us. So we're coming today to an absolutely crucial issue about the gifts that God has given to his church. And I thought it'd be good for us just to hear that reading. Thank you for reading it to us. Of the Thessalonian church. It's a lovely description of a church. They seem to be getting so much right, don't they? Wonderful descriptions. And memorable is that verse 3. We continually remember you before our God and Father. We remember your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? And they were getting so much right. The good news of the gospel spread out not just through that area of Macedonia. We're in northern Greece, if you don't know where Thessaloniki is. There's an airport there now. I'm sure some of you have gone through it. But not only was that part of Greece affected and blessed by their ministry, but down south in Corinth, in Achaia, the Christians have been blessed by the testimony of these people. So it had been a church with a wide influence as they had taken their faith seriously. So a gifted church, not a perfect church. In the second letter to Thessalonians, we learn about lazy people in the church, people who, believing that Jesus was going to return at any time, decided to give up on going to work. And Paul said that's not good enough and has some very severe words to say to them. So what I want us to do, because this is a big subject, what I want us to reflect on this morning is sort of three perspectives on the gifts that God has given to us. And for me, number one is absolutely crucial. We can't journey on this thing until we're clear about this. And that is thankfulness. Thankfulness. That is to say, the gifts that we all have and the gifts that we have as a church are the gifts of God. God has given us whatever we've got as a gift of his generosity. The wonderful reminder of Scripture time and again is that God is perfectly generous. He always gives us exactly what we need. Think about every part of your life. The fact that you're breathing now, it's a gift of God, nothing else. The fact that you're here is a gift of God. Think of the car in which you came. You think, well, I worked flipping hard to get that. Yes, but it's part of God's creation. God enabled that car to be made. He enabled you to have the energy to go to work to buy it. Think of your home. Think of your family. Think of all the gifts and abilities that you have that are all a gift of God. We think of the life of this church. It's all a gift of God. The danger with gifts, very easily, is we turn them into thinking that there's something that suggests we've done really well, that we get adulation because it's our gift. And yes, we did do it rather well. And our house, yes, it is rather nice. We did work hard for it, but there you go. And we forget that God is the giver. Crucial to understanding gifts is understanding the giver. And God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. So we need to turn to God in praise if we're going to make any progress with this. As we think, and I do hope you'll participate in this at the end of the service with your bulls. Here's my bull to illustrate what I'll be doing later. Look carefully at these buckets to see the way in which you respond to the different gifts that God has given to the church. He's given us many different emphases in ministry, which is used to bless. It'd be interesting to know, important for us to know, what you see as being the most significant. God has given us a wonderful community focus. If I'm honest, when I talk about you, and I do talk about you a lot because I'm always on the road traveling to other churches, I often talk with pride of the community focus of this church. Bless you for all those many of you who've contributed so much to this through the years. Fantastic. We think of the glorious diversity. It's just wonderful, isn't it? Just being here on a Sunday morning, just to see the wonderful range of people that come to this church. Brilliant. We think of the way in which this church has been committed for so many, many years to building people in faith, particularly for its work amongst children and young people, which is outstanding. If I'm not bragging about the community work, it's about the children's and youth. I mean, it is outstanding. We think of the way in which God has blessed us through these buildings. They're not perfect. Didn't hear me say that. What you did hear me say is God has used these buildings amazingly, amazingly, to bring glory to his name. So many different things. God is using this church and has used this church. But we need to reflect on these things with thankfulness because they're all a gift of God. They're all a gift of his grace. This attitude of thankfulness is important because when we come to God with thankfulness, actually what we're also coming to him with is humility. We're saying, Lord, we recognize from you. It's not because we've done great things. It's because you're a great God. Also, we're recognizing our dependence upon God. As we say, Lord, we recognize that what we're doing is a result of your generosity. We therefore recognize you're the God who will sustain us as we work and live for you. And we also show our commitment to continuing to work with God. Thankfulness is, people think I was just about singing a few songs. It's not that. It's an attitude of the heart where we're saying, Lord, we thank you. We're humble before you. We're dependent on you. We want to journey with you. Thankfulness is so rich. And Paul refers to it time and again, doesn't he? Time and again, he uses the expression, always giving thanks. Ephesians 5:20, we looked at recently. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is not saying we need to start thanking God for bad things. When there's been a road accident, we can't thank God for that. When there's a crippling disease, when God is not asking us to thank him for bad things, but he is saying in every situation, however bad, there is much for which to give thanks to God. What a privilege it's been as a pastor through the years to be with families at the time of disaster, the time road accident, maybe, or the sudden loss of a loved one, to be with that family. And amidst the awfulness of those moments, there are too many to recall, to be able to say, let's give thanks to God for his presence with us now, for his love of which we're totally secure. Do you know, we can always give thanks to God, not belittling the bad things that happen in our world. They do happen. But always realizing that we continually have reason to give thanks to God for his goodness to us. So we need to identify our gifts as a church, as individuals, but supremely we do it with thankfulness. That's point one. Second point, second perspective, we need to look at our gifts with the attitude of responsibility. That is to say, the gifts that God has given to us as individuals or as a church, these gifts are not an ornament to be put on a mantelpiece. You know, that's my gift. Aren't I clever? Come and look at my mantelpiece and see the wonderful ornaments I've attracted through the years. It's not that. If you've been given the gift of caring, praise God for that. It's really wonderful. But I don't want to sit on the mantelpiece. I want to see you caring. And if you really are somebody given to caring, let's see you using that gift in such a way that you're becoming better at caring. And let's look for opportunities to see how you can develop that gift of caring. And if you're a teacher, that's brilliant. That's what a wonderful gift. We need many teachers in the life of the church. Then teach and then find ways in which you might be able to develop your teaching gift so it can be even more effective for God. There's something dynamic about this process. We must take responsibility. If, as a church, we were to say, well, look at our wonderful community ministry, wonderful children's and youth work, wonderful other areas of the life of the church, and we say, well, we can now sit back and say, that's a good job done. You know, that's nice, that one's finished. It's not like that. We realize we have an ongoing responsibility. In fact, as we do the work well, and Jesus said it would be just like this, as we do the work well, so we're given more responsibilities. That's the nature of the work to which we're called. The reason that this church is here, and let's glory in it, and this is a nice moment with this vision discovery process, which I think is so good for us because it's making us reflect deeply on how we're wired, how we do, why we do what we do. We've been here for 129 years, not talking about you personally. Well, that's a few of you, but not generally. But just think of those years when our nation has been through tumult time and again, not just two world wars, But we think of times of depression, deep depression, you know, successive fluctuations of our economic fortunes. We think of how this community has changed out of all recognition in that time. And yet this church has consistently shared the good news of Jesus Christ. That's something to celebrate, isn't it? How's it happened? It's happened because our foremothers and forefathers have taken responsibility. They said, that's my work and I'll stand by it. I have this responsibility for the children's work and will keep it going come what may. Many of you will know much, much more of the story than I do. But let's thank God for a heritage of people taking God seriously, taking their gifts seriously, have taken responsibility for the work to which God has called them to. We should be thankful for those who've gone before. We should be thankful for all that they've done for us. Take responsibility for your gifts. I don't know what your personal gifts are. What I do know, because the New Testament is absolutely clear about it, is that you're gifted. You're a gifted person. If you love Jesus and you're seeking to live your life with him, God has given you a gift which is necessary for the building up of this church. As a pastor through the many years, I found this is one of the hardest things for people to grasp hold of. And the reason people find it hard is because they're so apparently humble. And they'll be saying to me, "Ah, yes, Jonathan, there's so many gifted people in the church. You know, I just feel as if there's nothing special I can do because everybody else is just so wonderfully gifted at Eastleigh. And, you know, what I can do is just unimportant. I just need to remind you of the Word of God. The Word of God is that God, creator of the universe, has personally given you gifts. He created the universe. He doesn't know what he's doing. He has given you gifts that he knows are needed for the building of this church. It's not for you to say, to sort of outsmart God and say, well, I've been thinking this through and I think, actually, I can't be used because of all these gifted people around me. No, God has given you gifts that are crucial to the building up of the church. I probably and hopefully have taken you through this before, but I love to get it into people's minds, so I'll get it through your mind again. If you don't know what your gift is sitting there this morning, it's fine, God still loves you. Finds it a bit harder, but no, he still loves you. If you don't know what your gift is, firstly, thank God for your gift. You said, Jonathan, you weren't listening. I've just said, I don't know what my gift is. Ah, because we know the Bible says you've got a gift, you might as well be positive about it. Just say, thank you, Lord, for my gift, presently undisclosed. It's a boring sentence, but, you know, thank you, Lord, for my gift. Secondly, you haven't opened your eyes yet. You said, Lord, please tell me what this gift is. I believe God is a God who loves us to know what our gifts are. So, thank you for my gifts. Secondly, Lord, what is this gift? Thirdly, open your eyes. It's normally stark, staringly obvious what your gift is. Not always, but often. You're a caring person. You're an encourager. You're somebody who just speaks the right word at the right time. You're somebody who smiles well, and you're a good welcomer of people. Whatever it may be, normally, in my experience, the gifts that people have are really quite straightforward and quite obvious. But we'll go to four, just in case that doesn't work. Fourthly, ask somebody else. Because if you don't know what your gift, the people around you are bound to know what your gift is. And then, fifthly, once you've found what this gift is, use it. Because actually, it's as we use our gifts that they develop into the shape that God wants them to be. So, knowing your gift personally, as a church, we start by saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you've given us gifts. Clearly, manifestly, you've given us gifts. Thank you for everything you've given to me, which is a gift of your grace. Secondly, we take responsibility. But thirdly, and really importantly, I want to talk about the dynamism of gifts. What we're doing when we use our gifts that God has given is we're becoming part of the movement of the Spirit of God. That's what we're doing. We're saying, God, we want to be part of your dynamic life. And we see this powerfully happening, don't we, in this passage. We've got this little church in Thessalonica. Its influence has gone out from Thessalonica to Macedonia generally. And southern Greece is really quite a long way away. But even without the advantages of transport and communication that we have today, the influence of this church had spread out to Achaia, southern Greece. And Paul then says, your faith in God, verse 8, has become known everywhere. I mean, these days, that's nothing, is it? You know, somebody's on Twitter, gets known everywhere, Facebook, gets known everywhere. But at the time, that was a staggering statement. Because of their commitment to their faith, their love of God, it had reached everywhere. What I want to say to you today is, when you place your gifts in the hands of the living God, who gave them to you, but when you say, God, I want to cooperate with you and use the gifts you've given to me to build your kingdom, we should expect dynamic change. We should expect that amazing things will happen beyond anything that we ourselves could expect. Don't be surprised when God calls you to do different things. These gifts, remember what I said, they're not ornaments on a mantelpiece. The gifts that you've been given are ones that can constantly change. God may lead you to new places, to do new things. I'm very struck, having heard many testimonies from people, it's very interesting to hear. So often they will say, you know, I used to help with the children's and youth work, but then I heard that there was a need amongst the older members of the fellowship. And I got involved in that, and God has really blessed that. I've never done anything like it before, but the Lord's really blessed. And it seems the link so often is willingness. Actually, people just saying, I'm willing to have a go at it. I might be absolutely useless, but I'm willing to have a go at it. And time and again, when I hear people's stories, and as I look at people who I know well, God has used them powerfully in places where they'd never have put themselves. They would never have seen themselves as a natural fit, but they were willing, and there was a need, and off they went. God blessed them mightily. I know this to be a word of God. Be light on your feet with your gifts. Be light on your feet with you. Don't say, this is my gift, and this is how I do what I do, because this is what I'm trained to do, and that's how it's going to be. Like your gifts are a possession. They're not a possession. They're a gift of God to be used to build his kingdom. Maybe the Lord is asking you to be light on your feet. I've met many teachers, many engineers, many administrators through the years, who the Lord has said, you're doing a good job. You have those gifts, but you need to be using those gifts in a different country. I can use them in the mission field. I can use them in other places. Exactly the same gifts. Or maybe the Lord is calling you to train for ministry. Many, many of our ministers come from totally different backgrounds. Be light on your feet. God doesn't call us all to do those things, of course. But he does call us all to be light on our feet. Why? Because in the power of the Holy Spirit, we're led dynamically on a journey with him. And so that's how it is for this church at this exciting time. Brilliant, whilst reflecting on these things to come to the table in a few moments' time. And really wonderful this morning. We're going to be welcoming, Toby on our behalf is going to be welcoming 5 new members to this church. How great is that? And that just reminds us that we as a community are made up of individuals, and each new member brings their own gifts, their own colours, their own vitality to the life of this community. the vision discovery process, I hope is something you'll feel involved in. This is going to bless us all as we get involved. Use your balls, reflect on what God is saying to you about where we are as a church now and the journey that we're travelling together as we seek to discover God's will. So let's come to the table. Before anything else, let us give thanks. This is the Eucharist, wonderful Greek word. It's a thanksgiving service. That's what the communion service is. Let's come and give thanks to God for all his generosity to us. Let us take increasing responsibility for the gifts that God has given to us. And may we open ourselves afresh to the dynamic wind of the Holy Spirit. Amen.